Hello again, everyone, and welcome to A&M Consolidated Tiger Football, where tonight the Tigers are on the road against the Falcons of Richmond Foster. Joining me pregame, as always, is head coach David Raphael. David, my goodness, I don't know if you could have drawn up any better plays and any better result for a game plan, but I said at one time, I think it's like being on a basketball court and you make one of those remarkable corner shots off the bank shot and you say, hey, I call that. I mean, it's, you know, everything was clicking right for you on Friday night. Quite the show.
It really was. The kids came out and executed an amazing level for 0 week. You know, with only a couple of weeks of practice, that there's going to be mistakes made. And we made some mistakes. But the way we executed, that looked like a team that played two or three ball games.
I've always thought, again, we mentioned before that the championships are won in the off season, and I felt like your team was in much better physical shape. We were talking a moment ago that, yeah, being able to move the ball happens to kind of be the great equalizer on tiredness. Adrenaline stays high, but really I thought your kids were a little bit better prepared than what even you might have thought they were.
You know, a year ago we thought early in the season we hadn't run enough. And so that was something that we made adjustments with in practice plans during two-a-days, and we saw an improved level in our scrimmage, and we were still working hard, and so I think it definitely paid off. We were definitely in better shape than Cove.
Before we yank your chain on one thing, we're going to go right to the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which was your defense. I will tell you, the beautiful thing I love about our position is we're calling it as we see it from a fan standpoint, but your defense scored a touchdown. And you can look back on that game and say, that may be the trigger mechanism you're looking for that may pay off down the road. I thought your D did a great job against a potentially really high-powered, high-octane offense from Copper's Cove.
You know, those defensive kids have worked so hard, and they have so much pride. They needed a great performance, and they did. They rose up at times. You know, there's some big plays by Cove, and then they stepped up and made them snap the ball again and made some great plays. The interception when Cove was about to score at one point, and stopping the field goal in the first drive. They'd given up some plays. Really impressed with the way the defense played the game.
And you can imagine how much we were thinking this is going to really be fun to watch until before you can even get a snap off, you got to call a timeout. What's up with that?
You know what? We're first time with a few people on the headsets, also some personnel packages that are a little bit behind. And, you know, we haven't been practicing at a high tempo in comparison to what we did in the past. We've slowed practice down a little bit, trying to get quality, and it caught us off guard on the first play.
You can call it as you see it. Cope was behind it, right?
Oh, definitely. It's his fault all the way.
Let's talk about some of the new faces in the crowd. You mentioned that these players are going to be special. I think you got a lot of good play out of the Williams triplets. I'm going to tell you right now. Those guys were after it out there. But let's talk about the new faces in the crowd like the Peels. And I got to say, Colby Peel out there was a giant among boys at times with the way that he performed. And was I correct in the call that he was playing both sides of the ball?
Yes, he was. And it's something we've been working on since spring football. He will play some offense. He's going to play on the defensive side, as does David Gann and a couple other kids. That's just where we're at in the depth of our program right now. And learning how to manage it and use people where you need to, that's my challenge.
Yeah, and the unknown was going to be some of the O-line, I think, and then you had some unknowns in linebacker as well because we had some holes to fill. Talk about some positions that you felt probably overperformed expectation on Friday.
On offense, we saw the biggest difference just with the offensive line. The offensive line played like I hoped they would play. They're seniors, all five of them, and they really stepped up and gave Hickson plenty of time to throw and holes for Tyree to run through. On defense, we were real impressed with our young playmakers. You know, all three inside linebackers are underclassmen. All three played in the ball game. All three played well, including hopping on a fumble there in the end zone and scoring. Again, it was a relatively new secondary, except for TJ, but they all had experience, and again, they played extremely well.
Yeah, a couple of folks I thought really stepped up. TJ on defense seemed to be a heat-seeking missile at times, and truly he just found where the ball was. And then you go over to the offense. You weren't kidding about Tyree Merchant. I mean, I don't know. I compared it to a gazelle, the jump start of a gazelle, some kind of a deal. But he's got a running style that is going to be just fun to watch this year.
Oh, he's so explosive. You know, and it's like a track athlete in a football uniform. When he sees a hole, he hits that thing like it's the 100-meter dash. And it's a lot of fun to watch and work with.
Let's talk a little bit about Mason Hixon. I know you're a QB guy, and that's where this offense really revolves around. But there were times we could see huge strides in his maturity in the decisions he made, where last year he might have thrown an errant ball, and he wasn't exactly on target at times, but seemed to really get in sync in the game atmosphere. I got to think that for game one, he probably graded out fairly well.
He did a tremendous job. I think mentally I had him on one error in the ball game. And, you know, he threw one ball and I couldn't understand how he missed the throw. And he read the defense and he threw it where only the receiver could catch it. And it was just off by a little bit. But he threw it that way in order to keep from a turnover. Very mature. His post, that was a route that he had trouble throwing. He hit Colby Peel in the dead stride. I was real impressed with him, and it's a lot of fun to work with senior quarterbacks.
And you know, at this level, I think it's a real special player, and especially as a sophomore, when you have such a utility player as what Cade Williams is developing to be for this program.
Oh, Cade's a tremendous athlete. You know, he was an all-district soccer player as a true freshman. He started 11 games for us in football as a freshman. So you're talking about a sophomore who has a wealth of experience and a great skill set to do lots of different things. I was so happy we were able to play him a little quarterback because down the road, that is his position.
All right. As we talk a bit about how this game unfolded, the game plan was executed almost to a T, and you get up by 21 points and Cove comes back. You say, okay, they're going to kind of wake up here. You go into halftime with somewhat of a comfortable lead, but as we've said in years past, no lead too large. I mean, that's how it has been for you guys. You just got to outscore them. But I will say Cove did not make the adjustments at halftime that any of us anticipated. I think your guys really came up juiced up in that second half of football and are ready to put that game away.
You know, I'm so proud of the kids because, you know, it would be easy to let that first half go to your head and come out flat or just relax. And our kids didn't. We came in, we worked on lots of different adjustments. We didn't need very many of them. And the execution, again, in the third quarter was near flawless. And I think that speaks volumes about where our kids at and where this program's at right now.
Year ago, coming off of an opening season loss to Copperas Cove, it was Richmond Foster next, 41-21. We got to be shaking our heads at that point thinking, man, we got a long way to go. But they were a very good ball team last year, and they're going to bring the heat again tonight when you take the field on their home turf.
They're going to be very aggressive. We know up front on defense, they like to pressure the quarterback. They're going to load the box and force you into throwing and then try and rush your quarterback to make him hurry up. It's going to be a great challenge for the offensive line and for the quarterback to pick up the reads. On offense, they've got two of the most explosive running backs in the area, very powerful, and a Division I wide receiver. So it'll be a challenge for the Tigers.
If they have that kind of a running attack, you guys really responded well this past Friday to a very physical team. How did they compare to the Copperas Coves if they got two of those power backs back there? What kind of a challenge is that going to mean to you on the corners and up the middle?
You know, the one thing is they're not a 3-4 front. I mean, I'm sorry. We won't be in a traditional 3-4 against them because they have two backs and an H-back in the game. They have a tight end H-back on almost every snap. So it's a real different ball game for our defense. We're going to have to load the box and bring some extra people in. It'll be interesting to watch it unfold.
Both of you 1-0 coming into the ball game, and I guess that they've really got to be looking hard at what you did offensively. The stat sheets are coming out of the gate hard and fast for Consol again, and certainly with Tyree Merchant. Anytime you have a player that in game one is on track for that magic 2,000-yard season, if everything goes well, that's, I guess, who I'm keying off if I'm Richmond Foster.
You know, the one good thing about our offense is we can hit every hole in the running game. We can hit every hole in the passing game. And so it is a chess match the way we play ball on offense. We're going to go where you're not. And so I think they're going to load it up and try and stop Tyree. I'm anticipating Mason having to have a great night this week.
Yeah, and I also want to bring up another point. You mentioned Robert Franklin last week and the little wrinkle that he brings. I think that with his first varsity start, he runs hard. He's got some speed. He seemed a little tentative until he really gets into the game mode. Do you think that he could play a special role this week as well?
You know, I think Robert is a tremendous running back. It's his first time underneath the lights in the varsity game last week, and he was a little tentative early, but he made some tremendous inside runs, 7-8 yards that were just extremely well. He's physical. You know, he was a state power lifter. I think he's going to make a difference in the ball game.
Let's talk a bit now about how this is going to measure up versus Cove and what this is going to tell you about your team. I don't think any of us thought that the game on Friday night, in all honesty, would be the margin that it was. Are you going to know a whole lot more about what you got to work with this year going against a team like Richmond Foster?
I think offensively the biggest thing is, can we answer the man-to-man? Can we answer the pressure blitzes that they're going to bring? That will say tons and volumes about how people will play us in the future, because if we handle it, we can make big plays and score a lot of points. If we don't, then we're going to see it again the next week. On defense, it will be, how do you handle against a two-back, H-back type set, you know, power running football. I liked the way we played last week. We'll see if we get it again this week.
Like the balance sheet for a business, the film doesn't lie, and I know that you're going to have a little bit different perspective when you get to pick it apart. If you had to say for Consol fans, don't get too suckered in by the score that you saw. There's still a lot of work to do. What two areas are you as a coaching staff focusing on right now to say on film, hey, this is where we're vulnerable. We got to tighten up because this could come unravel pretty quickly.
Well, you know, the number one thing is I like to spread the ball into a bunch of playmakers' hands, and depth is an issue. If you lose one kid, you could have two holes. A Mason Hickson goes down, and you move Cade Williams back, and now you got a second-string quarterback and a second-string receiver in the game. A Colby Peel goes down, you lose an explosive offensive player and a starter on defense. And so it is a fragile deal. What I'm looking for this week and next week is to continue to build depth, and so that there's not a drop-off when the seconds go in the game. And that's to build a championship football team, you have to have the luck of health, but you have to have quality depth.
And it doesn't get any easier, but how big would a 2-0 start to this season, and especially against Foster, be to you, the coaches, and this program?
You know, I really believe, like, last year's team could overcome some negativity early because it was senior-oriented early on, and we thought they'd be okay through it. It didn't pan out that way. But this group here, they need confidence. You know, they're hungry for confidence. And when you get, if you go 2-0, oh, my gosh, you know, these kids be walking on air.
18-5A had a couple of interesting outcomes, not any huge surprises, except maybe Brian, and you know that Ross is over there making adjustments, and nobody's more disappointed than he was. But anything in the district right now that you guys got to be looking at that you thought was a little bit of a surprise to you?
You know, I didn't even watch any of the district films last week, and I saw the results. I thought they were about what we thought they would be. I knew that Brian was going to struggle against a really good Montgomery team because Montgomery's playing in a really tough district now. I think they were forced to elevate their program last year in that competition, and so I knew they were going to be it was going to be a tough road for Brian.
David, always fun to talk to you, especially after a 51-14 win over Copperas Cove. That doesn't happen very often. Cove, by the way, is at Lake Travis. You guys will be kicking off just in a few minutes from right now. Crosstown, another big game. I got to ask you from a fan standpoint, how in the world did you let this happen? A&M across town with Arizona State. Come on.
I hope our game doesn't impact the negative of A&M. I know a lot of our people in this town want to see, you know, the real maroon and white play. So we'll be in Rosenberg. And the way I tell them is, you get an iPad or your smartphone, you can still watch the A&M game while you're at our game.
That's exactly right. And we also have an app that want to keep up with it on radio as well. And we'll try to be accurate. We're known for falling off the reservation now and then, but usually you can tell what's going on, I think. Final score against Co 51-14, a whole new game coming up, Richmond Foster. And we'll kick off in just a few moments from right now. Our pregame continues with a check of the starting lineups and more as Mark Green joins us on the broadcast. That's it for this go-round. For David Raphael, I'm Mike Wright.